Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Jick Show with starring everybody but Jick.
Apparently. Hello.
We're broadcasting from our lovely, lovely place in London, and Jick is away on his anniversary. Right. He's celebrating a year, so.
He's in France.
Yeah, he did nothing romantic. I think he went to Paris, but they're going to a monster truck rally. So I don't know why he had to go all the way there.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear that the Parisian monster truck rallies are just not like anything else in the world.
That's true. They have those little tiny cars.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They like ramp over them with like bicycles or something. I don't know.
Well. Sipping their cappuccinos or whatever it is that they sip in Paris.
You know, an Italian monster truck rally would be kind of awesome because it'd be like everybody would be on scooters.
Yeah, Vespas.
Like, a gigantic Vespa, you know, like rolling over.
Gigantic Vespa with like a big metal dragon head on the front.
Yeah, that would be great. So, yeah. We have some questions from right after the show last week that we'll try to get through and then catch up on the regular queue, I guess. This is two people who use Macs having to sort of try to figure out how Jick's Windows box works. And so I'm sitting here at his computer. And so if anything goes wrong, blame the operating system and not me.
That's right. It's all Windows' fault.
Yeah. Tiny Plastic Grimmy asks, "How's the beer in England?" In my opinion, it's just bad. I found one type of beer that I've sort of found to be okay. You know, that I actually kind of enjoy.
You don't even find the Guinness acceptable.
Well, the Guinness is okay, but we're so close to Ireland that you'd expect it to be awesome. Like you know, hopefully we're hoping to go to Dublin, and when we're there, I think you'll. If I don't know if you drink Guinness.
No, I don't drink beer.
But Guinness in Dublin is so awesome, and it's just not the same even here. I think they like age it extra long before they send it to Britain.
Put more ham hocks in the vat.
Yeah. They don't throw in the dead rat or whatever. Yeah. Whatever makes it Guinness. They just think, you know, that special ingredient. So in general, I've been having the problem of like everything is just kind of weak sauce. I don't know. It's very, it just seems very watery to me. And like the alcoholic content is, you know, more or less the same apparently, but it's just not. It's just not all there. So my beer of choice here is so far is Adnam's Broadside is apparently okay. So we kept asking for Adnam's and the bartender kept correcting us with saying Broadside and we didn't understand what was going on. But then we realized that Adnam's is like the brand name and Broadside is there the type of beer.
I've been liking the Strongbow.
Yeah, but you like the sissy cider drinks.
It's good, man. It's like beer, except it doesn't leave you feeling like someone took a dump down your throat.
Is that what beer normally feels like?
I'm possibly exaggerating.
That would explain why I don't like beer. Yeah. There's a lot of questions that don't seem to pertain to anything anymore. Marianne says, "Not cool. There are always new players who already find this intimidating enough. Why not make a separate hardcore game for the people who are already jaded by the current KOL?" Are we making things too hard, too weird for people? What's going on?
I don't think so.
Yeah, the level 11 quest is in testing, and there's a lot of a lot of questions as to whether it's too crazy.
I mean, it's perfectly reasonable. I think it's just there's so much of it. It's like It's like we took five quests and called them one quest.
It's ridiculous. It's not even funny.
Hunter
Jam says, are you going to make any special bosses? Because I've been doing everything I can do and don't want to ascend. I'm too strong for these bosses.
Are you ready for the jelly? Yeah, I think you're just going to have to ascend there.
Yeah, well, either that
because
or...
Because there's bosses he hasn't seen. That's true. Because he hasn't ascended.
If you don't ascend, you don't see everything.
At least one,
fight
I guess.
Everybody. And, you know, there's always the basement. There's going to be something in the basement that can beat the stuffing out of you.
Somewhere. So,
somewhere. Deep down there in the dark. Yeah. Chalks asks, could we have a reply button when we open a gift package? That way I won't forget to say thanks. I don't know. That would be something that you might want to pester Xenophobe about. That's the kind of thing that he likes to do and whip out every now and then, the new sort of like interface kind of stuff. Boom Baby says, I viewed Multi Abuse, how Senator McCain talked about porn. You'll know it when you see it. I definitely would know if I saw
Senator McCain porn.
Yeah. And that would definitely be some kind of abuse.
And then I would never see anything again because the screwdrivers are going right in the eyes.
Or just take a drill to the... It's like, you know... never mind.
Psalms, spoilers!
I keep forgetting that Rick has not seen every movie.
Yep.
Yeah, he has not seen Usual Suspect yet. So we've had to step around all kinds of references that we were trying to make because he's not had a chance to see it yet, but apparently it's sitting on his computer unwatched. He doesn't want to like take the time while we're here in Britain to stop and watch a movie. I don't understand.
I'd rather go to the big toy store.
How was that, by the way?
It was pretty cool. They had whole floor of Legos and
like the floor was made of Legos.
But they had a full life-size R2-D2 made of Legos.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Is that something that they like send out promotionally to stores, do you think?
I have to assume so. Okay. I would imagine so.
Because if they just have to, like, if it just has to be like some sort of entrepreneurial store employee that's
it would never look right.
I don't know. It'd be hard to get enough bricks of the right colors and shapes and stuff to do something convincing. I guess R2-D2 is a kind of a simple shape, but...
That's true.
Like a C-3PO. Oh, that'd be kind of impressive.
They had some big like Lego structures of the Bionicle figures.
Oh, neat.
They were pretty cool. I think I got some pictures of one of them. They had in one of their stairwells, they converted a stairwell to this whole Narnia thing. And on like some of the landings, they had cases set into the walls that had some of the actual props from the movie in it.
Oh, wow.
Like the White Queen's dagger and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Huh. It was interesting seeing sort of the very earliest Lego computer games that had been worked on. We got sort of a sneak peek of, not sneak peek, I guess, like a, there's, before they did the Lego Star
Wars. We did
get
a sneak peek, but we're not allowed to talk about the sneak peek.
There's no future game with Legos coming out that we're allowed to not talk about at all. But there was like a fully featured Lego soccer game.
Yeah,
that seemed really interesting, honestly. And I think would actually be really kind of neat on the Wii, but just based on how the interface worked, because you'd sort of like aim where you wanted to kick the ball.
And push the trigger or
push
whatever.
The trigger or whatever, and then you could break things apart and stuff like that.
It looked well thought out. I guess they just didn't get a little contract for it or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, their sort of final assessment, even after all the coding and work that they put into it, was that nobody would really buy it.
Yeah.
And that may be true. I mean, we didn't get to play it or whatever, but instead of dying, like, what would happen was that would be that the bad guys would, like, take your ball away and play keep away.
Yeah.
Which just, I think that just seems like a really neat idea.
That was pretty cool.
So, Yeah, it's kind of sad. I wonder how many games get mothballed like that that could be really sort of interesting or exciting or fun to play or whatever. Pfeiffer says, as you're in England, you really must learn to talk about the weather. How are you enjoying snow?
There is the snow. The snow didn't last all that long.
Yeah, it like rained immediately after and just sort of washed it away.
I think Zach took some pictures of it. I have to upload the new pictures to the photo bucket.
Have you been taking many more exciting photographs?
Some here and there. I got a couple at the toy store and one of some interesting looking tower or spire thing that we saw on the way there because we turned the wrong way up Regent Street initially.
Was it a Regent?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe he was inside the tower.
All right. The monkey says, a fair few months ago, you discussed having a way of changing your name for a shitload of meat. Are you still planning to do this? I hate the crappy name I gave myself 2 years ago.
That's probably not ever going to happen, is going to be my guess. Because isn't it just some tremendous pain in the ass to change that?
Well, I think it's complicated based on the way that the database is structured. Yeah. There's all kinds of things that use the player name, and I think you'd have to rebuild the table. So you couldn't do it when it was live, or if you did, it would like a bunch of things would break if people tried to search for you and or send you stuff, that kind of thing. That's especially true of the player number. The name might not be quite as complicated, but you know, again, we're kind of like the two people that you wouldn't want to ask that question of because we don't know.
Yeah, this isn't this show is not for very technical questions.
Yeah, we can make stuff up.
Yeah,
it's going to be exactly 12.5 billion meat to change.
Exactly, and
and it'll take five years.
It'll take 5 years for the change to go through because we'll have to convert the name to binary and then load it in one digit at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By use of smoke signals.
Yes.
To Mars. There's this experience oldspice.com, I guess, which is has this manliness quiz that you can take, and one of my favorite questions was, you have a desire to take a shotgun to a bunch of aliens, which would be your best bet, and then it has a picture of two different planets. And then one of them is Mars.
Yeah.
In case you want to take the quiz.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry. I just ruined it for you.
Now they'll get one more point than they deserve.
I seem to have been disconnected. Let me make sure I'm still broadcasting. I think we're still good. Let me reconnect to the...
I can ask a question while you're trying to do that. Here's a bunch of people shouting Bill Brasky at us.
Again, I blame Windows. This is the sound of me typing.
A Naked Jew says we're still broadcasting.
Okay, good. Just wanted to check. Right. Questions. Let's see here.
Huh. Some people saying, yes, absinthe is available. No, it's not available. Yes, it is available, but you can't get it with wormwood. One person that says it's got the wormwood, but that's not what makes it good, and that bit is missing.
Interesting.
So apparently nobody really knows, or at least none of them can agree.
You know, if I live my life without trying absinthe, I think I will be okay. There's a song, I think it's by Morphine, called Chartreuse, which talks about the alcohol named Chartreuse because it's like a very particular shade of green.
Oh, okay.
And so my girlfriend at the time and I were like, oh, let's try this. Worst alcohol I've ever tried. So bad. I don't know. I think it's made out of like fermented dung or something. It's just awful. And I don't know where it gets the green color. That kind of worries me. But yeah. So. The song is kind of depressing, and so I'm sure that's why, because it was written while drinking that, or being forced to drink it, maybe.
I had a friend who, I don't know if he's still keeping up on it or not, but for a while he had a checklist of, like, every drug, or at least every illegal or entertainment value drug, with the intention to try every single one of them once.
Wow, a checklist.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So every now and then I'd run into him, he'd say, like, oh yeah, crystal meth? Don't try it.
Wow.
It's not very good.
I mean, is it bad just once, or is it bad because of the whole, like, repeated usage makes your teeth fall out?
He described it as, like, having just this incredible burst of rush of endless energy, and I want to use all this energy to find some more crystal meth.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That doesn't sound like any fun. Oh, it's the old Robin Williams thing where you're doing cocaine so you can work more, so you can make more money, so you can buy some more cocaine, so you can work more. Yeah, some people correcting our spelling of suppress, which I think Jick had just been misspelling for his entire life.
That's possible.
So...
some people writing in to inform us about the true nature of canola oil. And some people commenting on Anna Nicole Smith being dead. Let's see.
Canola oil stands for Canadian oil low acid. What? Which is also known as Lear oil. Apocalypse says canola oil, Canadian oil low acid, is also known as Lear oil, which is an acronym for low uric acid rapeseed oil.
Great.
Huh.
Mazapan says, excuse me, Mazapan says, like the movie Snakes on a Plane, the band They Might Be Giants has an incredibly zealous fan base, but in the end, both equally suck. Snakes was a horrid movie, and TMBG makes rotten music. I think the problem, Mazapan, is just that you have absolutely no taste in music.
Or that you just don't like things.
Yeah, or you just don't like stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
I think what we're saying is you don't know what's good.
Yeah, that's distinctly possible. I mean, there's definitely some TMBG that I'm not a huge fan of, but...
yeah, but I've never heard one that I hated.
And there's got to be something in there for everybody.
Yep. There's Volvox saying Anna Nicole Smith is dead. Ding dong, Anna Nicole Smith.
Which is... You shouldn't take so much joy
in that. Ding dong, Anna Nicole Smith is dead.
The monkey said that he pre-ordered... is Wii on September 20th, and it still hasn't arrived. Anyway, are there any games that you recommend that I should get ready for its delivery?
Zelda.
I liked the Rayman game
was fun.
That was fun, because that was a really good use of the new interface.
And the Elebits is reasonably fun. I mean, it's not very deep, but it's fun to throw shit around and make a mess.
I was going to say, it's the opposite of, like, having to clean your room.
Yeah. I think the only other one I played was Red Steel, that I don't recommend that.
The sports game that comes with it, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Wii Sports, that's fun.
There's a lot of...
oh, the other one I got was...
the golf game.
The golf game, that Pangea Golf, or Super Swing Golf, I think
it's called. It didn't look like it was any fun, though.
It is. I mean, it's neat, but it's difficult. Damn, is it hard.
Yeah.
If you like golf games and you want a hard-ass golf game... then that's probably the one you want.
Volvox asks, how come we can't mine for fish yet?
Because you don't know how to mine for fish.
Yeah. Also, you just aren't looking in the right place.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where to mine for fish. This is the time on the radio show when we read questions before we answer them.
Yes. Vlad Tepes, or Slipshod, or whoever the heck you are, says, is it bad that I found a stick and want to hit things with it? No, that's what they're for.
That's what sticks are for, yeah. Clacking says, wow, the Science Museum picks the Power Glove. I remember the Power Glove.
Yeah.
Also, Hot Stuff looks like a lot more like a normal person than I would have assumed.
Rickett has shouted at me in all caps that we're reading a lot of questions that were already read on Scully and Xenophobe.
Oh,
show.
Did they? Shoot, I thought we... Well, I blame Windows.
Yes.
Apparently Jick did not did not flush these, even though he said that they did. All right, well, we can move ahead.
Well, you will skip down a bit to, let's see. Wait a minute. Where are the... Oh, I know what. I bet it was because I'm reading them off of the wiki thread, and I bet they started there.
I bet that was not for them.
Yeah, that was not for them.
I see. Okay, that was the problem.
Okay, so, but if we go down to what Radio Bugbear actually has, then that should be stuff that they haven't seen yet.
That was sneaky, because we did that so that they could have their own queue of questions that weren't in relationship to their show.
The plan failed.
Yeah, the exact opposite of what we wanted to happen. we have this wonderful sort of collaborative device, only we didn't... Jake didn't preface that information.
Didn't actually explain it to anybody.
So it's there's a lot of assumption. Oh yeah, they'll totally understand what we mean here, even though we aren't explaining it at all. And it's equally likely that they could just understand it the way they did.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. Numerix asks or says, "Hey, will the Penguin Mafia be brought back soon?"
Maybe
they're back. I mean,
they're there.
They're doing their
like we're going to tell you of their nefarious schemes in advance.
They're sort of amassing huge quantities of meat from their raffles.
I know.
What could they possibly be building with all of that meat?
I don't know.
Could they be founding their own country?
Perhaps.
Or maybe they're buying their own country.
Maybe they're buying this country.
Aha! Uh-huh. Eke Idol says, "Have you guys read the Nietzsche Family Circus? It's pretty good."
Nope.
It sounds like something that we would enjoy, though.
Yeah, it does.
Alright.
Raut asks, "Will you pronounce 'uh' for me?" Mainly it's pronounced, "I'm too lazy to actually spell out words."
Nicodemus says, why do they say dyspepsia won the war? Coca-Cola is getting so much business at the White Citadel these days. Yeah, but it's at some sort of secret underground, you know... Cola lab, you know, because it's like not easy to find that place.
I think it's difficult to tell who actually won the war now because of all the time travelers interfering.
That's true. Yeah. So notice how, you know, there was no Coca-Cola available until the time flow was disturbed.
That's right.
What other curious things will happen because of the disturbance of time? I wonder. Hoggulus asks about how we would feel about, say, a ghost-type familiar that can possess any other familiar in your terrarium.
Too long, didn't read.
Hoggulus's questions do go on. They've got some interesting ideas, though. But the problem being that this is really complicated. I mean, the number of familiars that we have that emulate other familiar activities in one way or another is... I don't know.
And if doing that requires us to write a different blurb for every friggin' familiar? No. We've got plenty of that.
Do you think we're ever going to get another familiar item that requires a new line of text for every
God, I hope not.
it's
or if we do, I hope that I don't have to write it.
You know, every time there's a new piece of familiar equipment that does something totally different, Mr. Skullhead and Riff have to sit around and come up with funny ways in which it can work for, I guess, what, 85 familiars now? There's, like, what, 20 that haven't been discovered?
That. Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, it just takes a long time for you guys to figure all these things out.
Vash Orion has suggested a monster with a blur reference. Has he just been taking his Mr. Magnifico pills? Or
maybe.
Did we mention Blur last time or something?
Oh, well, and okay. I believe on the Xenophobe and Skullhead show, Mr. Skullhead talked about writing an Oasis monster.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. Spoilers.
Zong.
Walla Walla 23 says, just an idea to change stat days. Every few days, there are different things the moon do. Extra meat drops, extra item drops, invisible, extra familiar pounds, better short stat rewards, etc. And stat days. Stat days would be much less common, but you could still get cool advantages in adventuring on a specific day. I mean, if we had random stat days, let's say, for example, people would just bank up all their turns to find out what the next day's
and then thing wait was. Until it appeared or something.
So I don't know that that's necessarily ideal. I mean, there's something to be said for variances in days that allow people to make plans and sort of
strategize,
even though it does force some weird behaviors like the sort of oxy thing where you just sort of save up all your turns for stat days and then everybody goes. Which, you know, isn't ideal necessarily, or it makes those days sort of more laborious, but you don't have to play that way. That's only if you're trying to maximize.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the problem. Trying to make the game such that there's no clever or fun way to maximize means that it isn't really fun in other ways, too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the things that people will do that seem really laborious are the things that make other people enjoy the game, you know?
Yep.
Which, it's hard to find some sort of balance there.
What we need is to invent some kind of serum that makes a person want to play a game in one specific way, and then find a way to distribute that serum over the internet.
Let's, we could call it crystal meth.
Yeah.
And then just design all our games to be played on crystal meth. Because you'll want to keep taking the serum.
It would really just have to be like a button that you click over and over and over and over and over.
I hear that, you know, people's apartments or whatever that are doing crystal meth are very clean.
I've heard things about it. And then that, like, things like disassembling and reassembling bicycles, for example, is very interesting to someone who's on crystal meth.
Maybe the military could use crystal meth for people that have to, like, field strip rifles or whatever.
That sounds like some hilarious accidents waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, hilarious is maybe a bit strong.
Well, not to them. To me.
Oh, I see. Hilarious from the outside
perspective. Yes. Max Vance asks if Tango of Terror can be used in combination with any of the other Disco Bandit skills.
No.
Because Tango of Terror is the dark, forbidden knowledge Disco Bandit skill that Disco Bandits do not officially receive training with.
Right. So there's no
from
way
the guild
to string it into a combination or anything else.
You the moves are too esoteric for that sort of choreography.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The fact that you have to split yourself in two in order to be able to tango.
Yeah, because it does take two, yeah.
Is enough that you really can't just chain it with any other.
What's the MP cost of Tango of Terror? Is it two?
I don't think so.
Darn.
That would be kind of funny, though. It takes two. It could be two, though, with enough MP reduction things, perhaps.
So let's see. So now that we've got down that far, I can push this thing that says flush before this point?
Perhaps, but you might also just destroy the space-time continuum as we know it.
Oh, it's worth a try.
Oh, really? I'll keep mine on the screen just in case.
Oh, I don't seem to have destroyed the space-time continuum.
All right.
Although I also don't seem to have actually erased any messages.
It might not work for you. It might only work for Jicklesby.
Yeah, that must be.
Glebe says we should fix that tutorial quest log bug. Is it still showing up in the quest log if you've ascended, that kind of thing?
Let me look. Yawn. Completed quiz. I don't. He's not showing up anywhere unusually for me.
Huh.
I've got the thing here in completed miscellaneous quest that says I completed my training with the tutorial.
Interesting. I don't know. I'll have to see what's calling that.
Are some people somehow not getting that flag?
I've heard other people say that it's still showing up in the log as uncompleted.
That's weird.
Yeah. Shaggy suggests a joke item idea. The Nerf protest picket sign gives -1 adventures at rollover. I don't think that would work as a summonable thing. Although, in general, we try to have very few self-referential
items. Yeah. Things that Jake would call masturbatory.
Yeah. Which is weird, because you'd think we'd want to have as many masturbation jokes as possible.
Oh, I know. That's the pinnacle of humor.
Exactly.
Right? That's the one step below the fart joke.
You think?
Yeah.
So the fart joke is the sub-pinnacle or the apo-pinnacle?
It's like hovers slightly above the pinnacle.
Because it's gaseous?
Yes.
Pussy Willow says, it occurred to me as I listened to KOL Radio during rollover, if we could possibly have the chat still going, it would make the poor DJ's life during rollover much socialer. Not sure what I should have said there.
The problem with we can't have chat go during rollover easily because chat checks a lot of stuff that has to go down during rollover.
Yeah, we're doing a full database backup basically, and so we kind of just shut down the whole thing. Although what I think this is an extremely long term vision here. In the future, there will be cars. Now, in the future, we're thinking of going to have other games at Asymmetric, right?
Yeah.
And one thought that we've had is that they will have a unified chat interface, so you can be playing multiple games and be playing and still be chatting. And sort of, I guess it would kind of be like.
So, for example, we'd have like Trade KOL and Trade whatever the other game is called.
Space KOL.
Space KOL. Galaxy of Loathing or whatever.
Yeah. Gaul.
Gaul.
And then you could sort of listen to all of them and then get thoroughly confused.
Yeah.
Make offers for your, photon torpedoes in both games because they'll exist.
Yeah.
And so at that point, it seems likely that we would be able to just basically have a completely separate server for chat.
Yeah.
And then just allow that to run at rollover sort of like continuously.
Right, right.
So then you'd never actually have to log out of chat.
Especially because we can asynchronize the rollovers across the game so that you can play one game while the other's rolling over.
There
maybe.
You go. That's true.
Then we get all kinds of nice cross-pollination between them.
And we could do something where
this game is shutting down for
an
hour. Go play the other one.
And a British English version of the game.
That'd be easy because we just run a filter that adds a lot of extra U's everywhere.
Yeah, why did you get that? You got a bunch of extra vowels. We went out for.
Yeah, I got a sandwich with extra vowels because I ordered a cheese and onion and tomato sandwich, and I got a cheesy union tomato sandwich.
Yeah, that's
it's all written here so on the sandwich bag. Yeah, it's this sandwich wrapper with far more vowels than I needed. It was a very good sandwich, though.
Bang Falls has something interesting. Maybe you want to...
Let's see. How many degrees of Kevin Bacon? Oh, no, the Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
Bang Falls... I'm going to summarize. There is an XKCD comic strip about the perils of spending too much time looking at Wikipedia, and apparently Bang Falls emailed the guy and told him about that game that I invented coincidentally among all the other people who apparently also invented it, and the XKCD guy sent him back a link. Which is apparently a solver for that game. You give it two Wikipedia pages, and it will tell you what the shortest distance is between them.
See, I feel like this makes it a game where you can actually compete against
the board
or whatever.
Try and get the most optimal one.
Yeah, where you have to figure out the most optimal. So you actually have a number now that you're trying to get to it by. And that could make it more interesting. Thinkfalls also asks, on a slightly related note, how many degrees of Kevin Bacon are we?
It depends on what you consider a degree. I mean, do you have to have worked with somebody? Because I had dinner once with Catherine O'Hara, and the mother from Home Alone, and she was in some other stuff. And
you guys went out on a date, is what you're trying to say.
No, it was like a family thing. Her husband, assuming I'm not insane, I was young at the time. But I'm pretty sure that this is indeed Catherine O'Hara that I'm thinking of.
Cheeks with
aftershave. But her husband or some relation was in the theater department at the university that my father is at.
I see.
And she came to town and did like a little workshop with a community theater group and stuff. And my dad and I had dinner at her house. So if you count that as a degree, then...
I think you have to have had sex with her.
Then I think I'm like two or three away.
I have no idea. Like, I've never been in a movie.
I think she's been in a movie with... She was in a movie with Steve Martin, and Steve Martin was in something else with Kevin Bacon. I think that was how that worked.
Okay.
But if that doesn't count, then I don't know.
Do we have to have starred in a movie?
Yeah.
Because if so, then that makes it pretty difficult. Because we had a bunch of numbers when I was in college. Your like so and so number was how many degrees away from somebody you are by romantic partners, which was always kind of interesting and or
frightening.
Yeah. There was one particular guy that. Everybody had used him as sort of the reference point. And you really didn't want to have a very low number. Divernon asks if players get purged from contact and belete lists when they are deleted from inactivity. That's a good question.
I would imagine so, because those player records eventually get dumped from the database entirely.
Right, but if the list of friends and ignores or whatever is just a static list stored with your character.
Well, here, there's a way to test, because I had Xscript on my delete list.
You did?
For a long time. Let's see. Account, contact, ignore.
Furtivoon asks, this new feature about unfinished quests is good.
Not on there now.
But what about these optional quests you get from the council that you don't want to do this run? Makes the reminder always appear. Well... Yeah, the reminder, I mean, always is such a relative term. It's going to show up the first time you log into the game. I'm amazed by how many people seem to find this just the worst idea ever, because it's not that big a deal, and for people who already know about it, and it's going to be such a help to new players to give them sort of an idea, and you can turn it off now, so quit your bitch.
The people that are still on my ignore list actually exist.
Oh, okay. So it does. The answer is they do get purged.
It appears to be, yes. I have no idea what the question it was that you just answered.
The Furtive Wounds question. Two down.
Ah, okay. You're right.
I skipped over Swarthy Pants, who wonders why the Store of Loathing doesn't offer a coffee mug that says guano, which is kind of clever, but... Yeah. It'd also be miniature, right?
Guano a cup of coffee? That was a really stupid pun. Nebula asks about Valentine's being free pulls from Hanks. We've already dealt with that.
Alrighty.
Although I should probably cause those monsters to stop dropping them soon.
Oh yeah, that's probably true.
I left it in longer than I otherwise would have because of how late we were getting them in.
Yeah, that was kind of a screw-up on our part, because Jick had to leave for the monster truck rally.
Yeah.
And so he had to do a bunch of stuff early, and then we didn't really have a chance to check it and stuff like that. And then he left, and then Xenophobe was probably embroiled in some sort of heated World of Warcraft encounter, and so we couldn't get a hold of him. And so nobody who actually had actual ability to change the code.
So we had to do some tricks.
We had to turn some tricks, which was, you know, awkward.
Oh, apparently Duck and Cover found a book called Xenophobe's Guide for the Scots.
Really?
Apparently Xeno's moonlighting on us.
Wow. That's, why would he have chosen the Scots?
I don't know.
That's interesting. Maybe it was his love for all the Scottish. Yeah, haggis. It's not haggis, it's crap.
Yes.
That's just to distinguish the two things in this particular bin.
Haggis or crap, 20p.
Yeah.
Even if it's not Scottish, it's crap. I can't really do a Scottish accent because I can't roll my R's.
Scottish?
Well, no, well, I was thinking crap. Yeah.
Is that what the secret to a Scottish brogue?
Well,
is to roll your R's.
It's one of the necessaries, I believe.
I feel like my accents are so terrible. I just cannot maintain them for any period of time whatsoever. I can freak out Phoenix though. I do my imitation of a French female, and it's more of a visual thing because I make my mouth very little tiny, and I. Oh, that is so cute. It is so pretty and so beautiful. And then it's like not really a female voice, but like it's. I told her actually when she's in Paris to look for like some sort of fashionable French woman and to look at her mouth, and it will be so tiny. I don't exactly understand this, but it's like there's something. I think it's genetic about French females that their mouths are just like. I don't understand how they eat because they couldn't get like.
Straws. Actually, they have really long tongues like hummingbirds.
Oh, proboscis.
Yeah, exactly.
Proboscis. Interesting. I wonder, could you get a proboscis attached, like some sort of surgery?
Just have a tube sticking out your tongue, or
no, just like you know, like
for your nose, or
like tongue reassignment surgery. Where you.
As long as it's not on your driver's license.
Yeah. that's a long, complicated conversation.
Yeah.
But it'd be kind of neat to like be able to lick something like 2 feet away. You know, what does this monitor taste like? Monitor. Mm. I started watching. I had never actually watched any of the Weeble and Bob cartoons. I'd watched like you know the some of their tunes, I guess. The Kenya Has Lions thing,
yeah.
And the Badgers and stuff like that. But I'd never watched their sort of ongoing strip or whatever. And so I started watching some of those today because I think we might actually be meeting up with them and having beer at some point. Since
really,
we're, yeah. Jick sent an email to one of them and says, "Yeah, we're around. If you guys are around for a while, we should." Meet up or something.
Awesome.
So that should be interesting. I just wanted to have like sort of a context as to what they're all about. But one of the early comics, Bob licks a rocking horse's butt. Or a donkey butt, I guess.
Oh, right, donkey. Donkey very eventually marries Chris, the ninja pirate mushroom.
And then gets.
And then dies somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched sort of the end, and I was like, huh, that's weird. Things have gotten very strange. Ziggy Zagnut sends us another limerick. I don't know if this is going to work. Put Chuck Norris in a fight so I can beat him tonight. He could be an ultra rare. Many kids he will scare. His mullet would be a fright.
I don't think that scans as a limerick.
Closer, though, I think, because it rhymes in the right sort of pattern. Yeah, I think you need to work on syllable count.
Yeah.
That's definitely still key.
Absolutely. Bill asks what Jick thought of Advent Children. I would hazard a guess that he did not see it. I've got a copy of it somewhere, but I haven't watched it myself either. Did you see it?
I have no idea what it is.
The Final Fantasy VII sequel movie that Square Movie Studio did just before they destroyed. No idea.
I have no idea
what I'm talking about.
No. What? Explain.
I don't know anything about it other
just
than
before they
it
destroyed
exists.
What?
Well, the SquareSoft movie studio, like remember they did that Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within?
Yes.
That apparently did so poorly that they were like, okay, never mind.
Really?
Yeah, and so I think Advent Children was something they did before closing it up. Yeah.
That's interesting.
They pretty much, unless I'm just mistaken, which I might be, but I think that pretty much now that they're only using that tech for making video game cutscenes.
What did you think about Spirits Within?
I liked it. I liked it enough to buy the DVD. I mean, I wouldn't classify it as fine art, but it was neat. It was
pretty as hell.
I thought
it was really pretty. Yeah. And I appreciated the fact that it was kind of just a movie version of, you know, video game.
Of just that sort of game. Because it had exactly that sort of plot.
Yeah.
Especially like, oh my god, we have to collect 7 of them. It's like, oh my god, you have to collect things in this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you know it's a Final Fantasy movie.
So, I mean, and I appreciated that. And I thought, you know, it was very interesting. And especially for the time, the animation
was fantastic.
Incredible.
Yeah. All the facial features and the skin tones and textures and everything. Yeah. Yeah, I was very impressed with their tech, as I haven't been with anybody else other than Pixar.
Yeah, that's true. Pixar, I think, what amazes me about Pixar is that they've been able to maintain sort of just a high quality of story.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And they don't sort of let the... I feel like it's sort of a little weird, because I feel like they do let some of their technology push them directions that they're going to go, because they figured out how to make fur work really well, and so then they did Monsters, Inc., right? And then I think they figured out how to make water that looked pretty good, and so then they did Finding Nemo. So, like, they actually had some sort of, like, technologically driven direction, but then they had a good story within that category.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem like it was driven by that.
I think it was one of the commentaries for Monsters Incorporated commented, or possibly Finding Nemo, commented that on every one of their movies, they try to do something technologically that nobody has ever done. Like you said, for Monsters Incorporated, nobody had ever gotten fur to look that good and stuff. But it makes me wonder what it was they did for Cars.
Nobody had ever made a car before that one yet.
Nobody had ever animated a 3D car before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was deemed impossible.
You want to put eyes on that?
No way.
No, forget it. Splines don't do that.
You saw Knight Rider, right? It was terrible. I miss Knight Rider.
There's that webcomic PvP. Mm-hmm. Is in general I'm not impressed with, but every now and then there's one that's really good, and there's one recently that commented about how Kit was obviously evil
because he's black with
the because of the eye. Yeah, he was a Cylon.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so I wonder what the new Knight Rider would be given the new versions of the Cylons.
Ooh.
Some sort of female.
Some sort of car made out of a hot woman.
Yeah. And you crash one, but then you have an identical one that just shows up. Weird.
Did you see the pictures somebody did? Some artist drew a bunch of the new Battlestar Galactica characters, but in the style of The Simpsons.
No.
It was pretty neat.
Huh.
It was funny. But yeah, they had the one Asian chick, but there was like four of her, and like one's horribly wounded, and one's naked and covering herself up and grinning, and it was, yeah.
But in like the sort of garish yellow Simpsons.
Garish yellow Simpsons with the huge overbites. And
wow. Weird. I think it's a little weird that our culture is so sort of self-referential and postmodern and whatever you want to label it, that we can have these just uber
crossover
things.
Somebody else did a the one like beautiful like story, although I don't have a lot of details of the story, but somebody posted on their like DeviantArt site or something a series of pictures they did of all the Futurama characters in anime style. And like I think Matt Groening or somebody liked it so much that they hired the dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Not necessarily to work on the Futurama thing, but to do something else that he was involved with.
That's cool.
Yeah. I like that the internet is starting to provide that sort of that sort of outlet that actually means something.
Well, there was, what was it? Some guy wanted to get a job, and he went to like a headhunting agency, and they recommended that he make a video and put himself on YouTube. Have we talked about this before on the radio?
I think I'd mentioned one I heard of some chick that YouTubed herself singing, and her voice was just so good that she got a recording contract.
There was some, I think there was some sort of like technical job that this guy wanted to get a job, and so he made a video of himself and included that as sort of as part of his resume. I think it was on YouTube, and got a job much better than he expected, whatever, because that was sort of interesting and innovative at the time.
Awesome.
But I feel like you do that now, and it would be kind of passe.
Yeah. You'd have to do something interesting with it, something creative.
Yeah, like some sort of tentacle outfit.
Yeah.
Because that'll always impress
people. Whoa, hire that guy!
And Jick was talking about, this, he might have mentioned this on the radio too, I forget what we've talked about on the radio and what we talked about just at the sitting on the table, since we do everything from the same place now, where the guy didn't get a job because his like MySpace or whatever had just a ton of pictures of him like drunk and harassing women or whatever and stuff like that, and like they just were like, we don't want this guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, your internet presence can directly impact your life. Orange Person asks, what do you think of limiting Mr. Store skills that you can use only in a sentence, like you can only use one per ascension? Then you can release more of them without game destruction.
I think we've already pretty much resolved that issue for the future.
Yeah, I think there's...
Well, it'll be weird because our solution is kind of extreme. And I'm not sure
extreme!
That... Extreme solutions! I'm not sure that everyone that does hardcore is going to want to go all the way to go the new thing, but I expect the majority of them who really care about that level playing field situation will.
Yeah, I mean, it is not currently impossible. In fact, it's not currently like insurmountably difficult at all to get all the Mr. Store skills, right? Because the tomes of Snow Cone Summoning are still available in the mall, and they're cheaper than they've been in a while.
Yeah.
And the current one is still available, and people are investing in them, and they're going to keep selling them in the mall. And there are still just tons available. I mean, tons is a relative term, but they're available. They're out there. Serious players, if they want to be competitive, can do that and can get those, and then get all the skills they want to collect or whatever. And then we have sort of another alternative in the works that'll sort of have, an even more level playing field. So, yeah. I mean...
Even more level than I think a lot of you wanted.
This field is so level. There's, like, no friction. It's like... Do you ever sometimes just sit there and thank friction for the fact that you can sit there?
Not yet.
You should try it sometime. It's great.
Gee, friction.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
I think I might queue up some songs. I think today...
Yeah, it's about time for a break, I think.
We're going to have a couple of minutes of Radiohead, because that's what I like. All right, we're going to take a break, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Woohoo!
A song, a song to keep us warm. There's such a chill, such a chill. We'll be right back.
I wish that something would happen.
Everybody.
Hello.
We're back from the break where we broke.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm still amazed that this is actually working and apparently people are actually able to listen to the show because I don't understand Windows. You like you click on things and they do stuff.
And then you get a virus.
Exactly. I've had like 8 announcements that we should update since I started sitting down at this computer. And I'm afraid to touch anything that Jack didn't specifically show me before he left, because I'm afraid I'll hit the self-destruct button or whatever.
The paperclip that jumps up and says, "You appear to be broadcasting on a Shoutcast radio stream. Would you
like help composing your next song?" No. I just want to play my MP3s. You stupid paperclip. Now, give me a house.
What?
House.
I was thinking the TV virtual show House.
Yeah. Show me some house. Show me... What was it? The show me potato salad.
What?
Okay, in the... This is going to take some explaining. Some splaining. In the Family Guy episode that's on, 1999 or whatever, after the Y2K thing happens and they get bombed back to France. No, I mean back to the Stone Age. They're like traveling to Natick where they hear there's a Twinkie factory and they run across this band of road warriors or whatever, and they're like they stop them and challenge them to name some things you find at a picnic. And so they come up with a bunch of ideas, sort of Family Feud style.
Okay.
And they're like they settle on potato salad, and then the world warriors say, "Show me potato salad," and they point at the sky where there's like clouds and stuff, and they just sort of look at it for a second, and then the Family Guy just sort of like walks around them and keeps going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. So that's I make references to that particular Family Guy all the time because it's my favorite episode, because that has the best action sequence I've ever seen in an animated
really
thing. Yeah, it's all about a guy in a chicken suit who gives him a coupon that had expired. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah, I can
how
imagine.
Amazing it is. So Lilith points out that they actually killed off the paperclip a few years ago. I had a friend actually who worked at Microsoft on Bob. I don't know if Bob was the name
of
the
paper. Oh, really? Yeah.
Or was that the paperclip?
It was like a prequel, pre-paperclip. Yeah. Yeah, it was like the original.
That got just destroyed.
Yeah.
She like lost her job and everything like that because it just went so badly. But she recovered, I think, and went on to do good things.
So we got a question here from Foggy.
Yes.
Woo!
We love Foggy.
Foggy's the dude that that wrote the KOL oriented puzzle for the MIT scavenger hunt. And did he also do the mystery hunt?
Yeah.
Did he also do the?
And he has this awesome online puzzle magazine. Yeah. Which, yeah, we should probably plug that because people would dig it.
P and A.
Yeah, Panda Magazine. I think it's .com. PandaMagazine.com.
Did he also do the choose your own adventure one?
I believe he did. Yeah.
That was an awesome friggin' puzzle.
Some people might have heard of Puzzle Boat, which was an online collection of puzzles.
Did he do that one?
Yeah, which he did. Oh, he did Puzzle Boat, and that was sort of he did that as like a test, I think, to see if he could do it, and B, if people would be interested in it. And then it got such good sort of feedback that he started doing Panda Magazine. I think you can buy individual issues or a subscription.
It makes me worried about my next puzzle contest.
Because the bar has been raised.
So yeah, well that, and if he plays it, he's probably just going to smoke everybody.
I don't know. I mean, people with groups of people that have more time than any one individual can...
That's true.
...do are going to be...
I don't know when I'm going to find the time to actually make that, because I want to do a interactive fiction front end for it this time.
Right.
Yeah. And
so said he'd help you with that, right? That he'd do some sort of...
Well, I can write SSH it in i7 like I... Oh, well, that shouldn't be necessary.
Well, you just don't want people to be able to decompile it to get answers.
That's true. I don't know what the decompilability is of i7, of Z files, though. I have to look into that. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. But in any case, I mean, as soon as NS13 is over, I have to start thinking about working on the Choose Your Own Adventure for Comic-Con.
Right.
And,
man, it just never ends.
It just never ends.
It's like work or something.
he actually asked a question, though.
Oh, yes.
Which was apparently on the Monday show, someone asked about discarding multiple. And Scully wasn't sure what it would help with, and he says it would help with useless powder, which can only be discarded one at a time. But if you go to the cell items interface, do those not show
they
up
have
on
no
cell?
They're discardable.
Oh, that's why they have the discard link. I was mistaken.
The problem is that the trophy for discarding a billion of them would be
would be too easy. Okay. So that's why there is no trophy for discarding
a billion useless powders. Please do not hit the server a billion times testing for it. I don't know. I mean, we could. I imagine we could do it, but the number of discardable items is pretty low. And I think the whole idea of useless powder is to discourage you from pulverizing things that would resolve in useless powder. You know. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we want to make it easier to get rid of them, actually. I guess we probably do. I guess that would be... Maybe we could, actually, for that one particular item, we could probably have a discard all link.
Could be, yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that's the only item I can think of that you're bound to get in significant quantities that you would want to get rid of to clean up your inventory or whatever.
We'll just throw it all in your display case.
Yeah. this is the sheer quantity of crap I've decided to destroy.
Can you imagine how much of that Crovax must have?
Yeah. LSK says that you shouldn't be able to use a meat car with more than 0.0 points of drunkenness. 0.08 points of drunkenness.
It varies depending on where you live.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can use your meat car with more drunkenness. You're just... that much more in danger of
we should have crash adventures if you attempt to go to the desert beach while you're intoxicated.
One of them can be a bandicoot.
Dell.
Yeah. So Vault asks why Radio Bugbear's tattoo isn't the Radio Free Regalia tattoo. I don't know. That's a good question. I think because Radio Bugbear is a bugbear, and you wouldn't be able to see it under all that fur.
Where do you bugbear tattoo? Where do you bugbear What's wrong with me?
You can blame it on the time difference.
I'm going to blame it on the rain.
Yeah. People keep asking for some kind of rare... candy heart the same way that there's like black snow cones.
Yeah.
I just, we just like with snow cones, we could make something that made sense, but there are a specified number of candy hearts. There's no black candy heart.
What? I know, yeah. I mean, we pick those colors based on
reality. The
based
whole
game
on the, is
the actual candy heart selection, yeah. From
everything in Kingdom of Loathing is just an accurate description of reality.
Yes, this is a hyper realistic game.
Yeah, and if you don't think
I mean,
so,
if you don't think
how
so,
reality works.
Try it. I mean, go find a frat boy and beat the crap out of him, and what he will drop will be cargo shorts and six pack of cheap beer.
See, now we're gonna get sued for encouraging.
Oh, okay.
Violence against frat boys.
don't beat up frat boys, kids. Stay in school.
Yeah. I guess that's, you know, if we didn't get sued for encouraging nicotine use. Puteneska asks, when I get a red fatality, does that mean I was destined to win the fight? Surely it doesn't mean I killed the monster. Gasp. No, fatality, you know.
Fatality is yeah.
It's the little death, the French death.
Wow.
Yep.
What weapon have you got equipped?
Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah. Just think of it that way. It's a lot more fun playing the game. I mean, you're dancing, for goodness sake. What kind of death do you think it's going to be? Do French people dance?
They probably waltz.
Well, they might.
Yeah, they have waltzes. And
huh.
The electric slide.
Yeah, I wish I knew the French for electric slide.
Zaxor wants an estimate of how many new zones will be added with NS13.
Wow, that's a good question.
So let's see.
There's four that I can think of off the top of my head. Seven.
Five, if you count that one as a zone.
Yeah.
And then the level 12 stuff is kind of weird.
It's like three, but maybe. I mean, it depends on how you count it.
Yeah.
And how we design it in the end, but it's sort of either three or 12, depending on how you think about it.
Yeah. So probably between. Four and a dozen.
Yeah. Or, well, definitely between one and infinity.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Plus there's other stuff as well.
Yeah. And some changes to existing stuff. And
yeah. Oh, and your mom.
Oh, right. Yeah. And your mom, who was Zaxor. Zaxor's mom.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be in the game.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Nicodemus says, if you twiddle your thumbs in combat, you can still get the option to pickpocket, but it doesn't work. Is that deliberate? It sort of sucks if you twiddle because your browser froze. It's not exactly deliberate, but yeah, you can only pickpocket in the very first round of combat if you got the jump on the monster. Twiddling your thumbs in any way removes that ability, but the script isn't quite smart enough to know that you've entered a new state. And I don't think that the way that the fight script is coded, that can be easily resolved. It's if your browser freezes, you just sort of lose out on that. But I think you didn't lose anything except for the chance to pickpocket. So while it kind of sucks, it's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to get beaten up or anything.
Right. A naked Jew once wrote a poem about lamenting the non-existence of the following crayon colors. Head cold mucus green, domestic abuse purple, chicken pox pink, alien autopsy gray, and hypothermic blue.
Huh.
That's interesting. That also is not a question, but
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
He also plugs his article, which features the interviews he did with the staff. And asks if... Oh, I guess there is a question embedded in all this. If Nikaju asks if he should send the copies of the article to Zlai or some to Europe. I think
just go ahead and send his lie, because I don't know what the mail's like around here.
And also, we're going to be in and out of town, and yeah. I don't want it to get. It's going to if depending on when it arrives, we might not even get a chance to look at it before we head back. So, and And Nikaju asks, in a recent class presenting session, he was told that he was presenting last, thereby placing him in the fourth place out of four. He immediately thought to himself, this means I must retrieve the goddamn from the Jesus Christ. I didn't know that they taught Jigball in school.
Yeah.
So, but that's good to know.
Maybe they have a varsity team or something.
Oh, that's a good point. NCAA, Jigball.
Yep.
Gleebs asks if there's some way you can make disco naps / power naps more unique / less suck. They actually are unique. Oh, actually, that's interesting. They are unique, and they will be more useful, and I need to remember to include that in the stuff that it does.
Oh.
They do things. And it's probably in the wiki, but maybe not. And if it isn't, then... Huh. Yeah. They are definitely... They're already useful, and they will become more useful without any sort of change to their mechanics.
Cool.
So, just... it's all about spading.
Jedi Peacekeeper says, the PS3 does not come out here in England until March. Are you going to laugh at us? Only if you buy one.
Do you just have that little faith in the PS3 or whatever?
I've not seen anything yet that would entice me to spend that ungodly amount of money on it.
How much does it cost?
It's like $600 or something.
For a console?
Yeah.
Wow. How much is the Xbox 7 million or whatever it is?
It was more standard console price, I think. Although it came in like two editions, and like one had more hard drive and some stuff, and that one was kind of pricey.
I think this song needs more hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's, I mean, they wanted to have a machine that was really powerful for the next generation of games, right? With the PS3?
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I'm sure the games they eventually come out with are going to look beautiful, but it doesn't necessarily make them games I care about playing. And they haven't got anything yet that I'm interested in. And they're going to have
to, you know?
They're going to have a good 8 or 10 of them that I'm going, damn, I want to play that before I'm willing to spend that much money. Because I've already spent $500 pre-ordering the new Lego Millennium Falcon. So...
You're still reeling from that?
Yeah, my bank account is reeling from the shock.
It is to scale with the mini.
It is to scale with the mini. It opens up and you sit in the cockpits.
And there's little hidden chambers? Oh, there's got to be somewhere in there.
Oh, like the smugglers?
Yeah, the smugglers.
Cubbies?
If they don't have those,
I'll send it back. I'll make some.
You'll hollow it out.
Yeah. Dremel tool.
I'm excited.
The forbidden spirograph hole.
We figured that it's 3 feet from front to back?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's going to take up... There's actually no space in the office
I think if I clear off all the Lego Mindstorm stuff off of that table next to my desk, I can probably fit it there.
Really?
Because that table is as... there. It's like that deep.
Well, it will overwhelm that table, I think.
Yeah, I won't be able to put anything else on that table.
Yeah. But. Then we can take it outside and fly around with it. You're like, no. No, it's never it's never leaving. We something happened where we destroyed...
Oh my god, I could put Mindstorms in it and make it make bits move. I could make the turret spin around.
A little R2 unit.
Oh my god.
Pop up or whatever. Yeah, your Star Destroyer, somebody kind of screwed up at some point, as I recall. They were trying to move it or...
Oh, right, and something come off and I had to repair it.
Yeah, I felt really bad. I think I was.
I mean, it's Legos. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, Jake has the ATST that I've like knocked over like 3 times because it's standing on 2 legs.
Yeah,
and then like there's just no table sturdy enough where you can't just hit the table and the thing just falls over and falls on the floor. Yeah, but and it's held together inside with a rubber band. That's a little weird.
Really, the ATST.
The ATST
is?
Because in order to get the angles right, I guess for the box part where the crew sits or whatever, they did. I thought it was really weird. They have a bunch of like spikes come in from the sides, and then they sort of wrap a rubber band around them to keep them together.
That's kind of kludgy.
Weird. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, but they are at really weird angles. Mm-hmm. So I guess they just wanted to preserve that. I'm really impressed with how they do manage to pull off good models using primarily specialized
models. Yeah, all the parts in that Star Destroyer were completely run-of-the-mill Lego parts.
Yeah, but it's also the size of a Buick.
Yeah.
Oh, Anika Jew asked us to upload the show promptly for those who can't listen to the whole thing live. So,
do you know how to do that?
Again, this is that in particular I'm really worried about. Like, I have to find some sort of program. The MP3 is in the computer. It's in
the
computer.
Can we just mail you the laptop and you can listen to it and then send it to the next guy?
Yeah, because that would be a lot easier for us. Yeah, I might end up throwing the laptop outside to try to see if I can find it in the in the rubble.
Like that Zoolander scene.
Exactly. No, but seriously, sending a file from this Windows machine to, which apparently can't do anything because it's Windows, to my all-powerful Mac, I don't know how that works. So I will try, but I make no promises. It might not happen until Sunday when Jake returns from the extra long truck rally. I really hope they go to see a truck rally now, because people are going to be asking about how it was.
King Bob asks, do you think Bashy will manage to have two-day runs even after NS13 is rolled out? I think even Bashy will not manage to do a two-day run.
I mean, there's a lot that is yet to be determined. We have yet to put in...
I will be surprised if people are doing three-day runs.
I mean, given what we've got now, it's going to be surprising.
Yeah. I mean, even if we don't do some of the more drastic stuff that we've been discussing, like
if we allow some preparation for some stuff. Yeah.
Well, plus, and like what I'm pretty sure has already been mentioned publicly, is the idea of making the beanstalk take a certain amount of time to grow.
Yeah.
Which we haven't really decided whether or not we're going to do that.
I feel like there's going to be something involving the beanstalk that's not as obvious. But if we do that, there needs to be stuff to do, you know?
In reference to my suggestion that we could have the rollover of one game instruct people to go play the other game, Black Belt Duck says, no, we need rollover to eat and shower.
What if you, you can eat in the shower, right? So that cuts down the time.
Just make soup. That's easy. Or just take a salad into the shower and you've got soup.
Tape soup mix.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There you go.
Hot shower and soup
and
mix.
And soup.
I think we might
be, man, just take a cup of noodles with you into the shower. That is genius.
We just solved all life's sanitary and hunger-related issues. Because they have hot showers everywhere in the world, right?
Yeah.
They're, like, free on every corner. The thing from Uranus asks, shouldn't pick their pocket be pick their pockets for plural monsters? Oh, wait, let me guess. They're conjoined at the pocket.
Man, nothing involving pluralized monsters is ever going to be right.
I feel like that would be a possible, you know, field in the database would be, you know, number of monsters is plural, and therefore we could
maybe
implement English for all of them in some extremely painful and convoluted way.
You can do that.
I can bug somebody else to do it, maybe. Grundle asks, just curious, why is the new Valentine stuff still in the gift shop? And that would be because of the Monster Truck Rally.
Yeah, we don't know how to get rid of that stuff.
Well, and you know, and it's St. Skeletor's Day, so happy St. Skeletor's
Day. So now you've got the saw blades to St. Skeletor's Day.
By the power of Grayskull, you have
the saw blades.
Saw blades. among the many people, there's still another couple more requests for pickpocketing as an auto attack option.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Gleeb says, happy 4-year anniversary of KOL. I wonder if that is.
When was that?
I mean, it's nearish, if not today. It was, you know, pretty recent.
Oh wow!
So
woohoo!
Go KOL.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
Raising the roof. Actually, you know what it might be is I think it might be like February 13th or 15th or something like that. There's a link on Asymmetric that says check out my game.
Ah.
So I think it was a little earlier than that, January of 2003. But yeah, 4 years. What have we accomplished? There's a sorceress.
There's like 30 familiars no one found yet.
Yeah. There's 20 trophies.
Yeah.
That are still undiscovered. That whole continent that nobody's found.
Yeah. that seventh character class.
Yeah. Jeez, that's mean. Psycho Insanity asks if we have seen any of the castles in England yet.
We have not. We haven't gone to any castles yet. No.
I've been to a couple. Yeah. In my day.
Oh, in your previous, yeah.
Although, you know, not like gigantic ones, but like just, you know, private family castles.
Yeah. Right.
There are a lot of castles around. It's amazing, honestly, like how much history is here in this
year. Yeah, we're walking down Regent Street today. It was just huge stone ancient buildings that people have put fancy Gap stores in the bottom of them and
oh,
stuff.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
There was one on one of the corners that was like this huge, massive oak door that was slightly curved to match like the curve of the front step because
wow.
It was on this corner in this huge stone building and it was a freaking baby Gap.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You better mind that.
I mind the baby Gap.
Mind the baby Gap. Psycho Insanity says I got a useless 360 and now have a PS3, I guess, except for it's a PS hash mark because he left the shift key down. Any suggestions on how to destroy the 360 most effectively? I don't think that it's useless if it still works. I feel like you're going to want to play.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't play a lot of stuff on it, I mean, there may at some point come out with something that'll be worth playing on it that isn't also on the PS3. In fact, I'd say that's fairly likely.
Bob Saget asks, is there any use for this little burned up spot in the plains?
It's
indicative of something else.
Yeah. It's indicative that you missed out on something.
Yeah, if that's all if that's all you've ever seen there, then you should ascend and pay more attention to the way things go. Yeah, how's that?
Yeah.
Maybe we should add some fortunes that revolve around that to the cookies. Schwaxby says, I would love to know what is going on or what is going to happen with the Grimmicite site. Yeah, I bet you would.
So would I.
Those penguins, man, they're nefarious. And Grimmicite, it is so mysterious and powerful.
Yeah.
Rickett says, Galaxy of Loathing? Don't you mean Puppy Smashing Factory?
Maybe that could be one of your planetary resources.
Yes. Puppies, and then you have to get a Puppy Smashing Factory.
Puppy juice.
Puppy juice. I'm going to try to reload these questions and see if anything else has come in, but I think that's going to involve me re-logging in. Yeah.
King Bob asks why the Devasters are not meant for mortal eyes.
They're testing secret things.
It would burn your skull right. It would burn your soul right out of your skull.
Burn your soul. What is it? Burn. Never mind.
What?
It's like I was gonna that to the tune
like,
of
like,
wash that man
wash
right,
that
out of
gray
hair,
right out of your hair.
Burn
wash that
man,
yeah.
soul.
Burn
right
that
out of your
soul right out of your skull. I gotta burn that soul right out.
Thank you for recovering from my inability to sing. yeah. Assemble asks for a channel gameplay. That's interesting. But, I mean, you really can discuss gameplay kind of anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere you happen to be, you can.
That's the game.
I mean, I guess you can't it would be frowned to discuss that somewhere like trade or games where people are expecting a specific sort of chat, but I mean, you can go into hardcore, veteran, or clan, or pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah. Glebe suggests cooking a spam witch sandwich and dictionary to make a sandwich with extra vowels. I have a whole idea for sandwiches that I wonder we might someday implement, but I'm not going to talk about anymore because it could be spoilers.
Oh, okay.
Buttons points out that stores of players who don't exist do remain on your favorite stores list.
Really? The stores don't get excised from...
I think the contents of the stores do, but the... Sort of like clans. Like, each clan gets assigned a unique number, and that number, even if... How do I put this? Even if no one exists in that clan, and you can't see the clan anymore, that number still exists, and there's a way to... there was a time when I could hack myself into a clan that was no longer there. Like, it didn't have anything. It's not like their stash was still there or whatever, but... yeah. So, I think that still exists in the database. That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I guess we could add that to the things that should be flushed. Yeah. Lykel, how do you pronounce that? Lykel Courier? Courier? Lykel Courier?
I have no idea.
Okay. Asks, could you guys add some kind of menu for all of the items you can use on other players? Wangs, bricks, cream pies, etc. You could just link to that with the right-click thingy instead of individual commands for each one.
Huh.
I mean, it's all in one script, right? So I guess we could have a front page to that script that was all the things in your inventory that it could use.
Perhaps, yeah.
That'd be interesting. Almost all in one script. I don't know.
I think we should have more of them before we start worrying about that.
Well,
though,
I mean, there's... Yeah, that's true. I guess the candy hearts are...
Yeah, the hearts and the carols and the bricks. Oh, and the cream pies, toilet paper. Wangs.
Yeah.
And if we make tomatoes throwable. I guess there are kind of a lot of them.
Yeah. Curious. Maybe this is a multiplayer game after all.
I guess so.
Istanbul says the new Windows release is after Vista is scheduled for 2009, and it's been confirmed the little paperclip dude will not be in it. But I mean, by the year 2009, no one's going to know what a paperclip is.
Yeah, I know. What is that twisted coil thing?
Exactly. Does it power your supercar?
I think in 2009, cars will run on just really massively large rubber bands.
You think?
Yeah.
Did you hear about the guy that was trying to, instead of using any kind of like electrical or chemical batteries, he was trying to make flywheels to store energy?
Uh-uh.
If you can get, like, he had some interesting results. Like, if you can get a flywheel that's incredibly low resistance, like very, very low friction, and get it up to tens of thousands of RPMs, you can use that to power a vehicle for quite a while. But it's a little dangerous is the problem, because you've got just this tremendous amount of energy. And also, I think it has like a kind of gyroscopic effect, so it becomes, depending on which way you orient it in the car, it becomes extremely difficult to turn in that direction.
Oh, yeah, because like gyroscope effect, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know whether that went anywhere. I haven't heard anything about it in a couple of years, but it seemed like an interesting idea as a totally different alternative. The problem is you still have to power it up. Like, you have to spin it up, right? Which requires putting more energy into it than it stores. Right. But I think it was just sort of somebody trying to think orthogonally to the whole fuel cell idea, which is where people have gone in the mainstream of thought about how to store portable power for cars and stuff.
There's a neat bit in that Neal Stephenson book, Quicksilver, where somebody was experimenting with, he had like a piston that he that he put some gunpowder in and lit it, and it launched the piston, which caused it to coil this like watch spring, which would then stay in, and stay wound with a ratchet. And then when the ratchet was released, it would power like a fan. And somebody else said, that's pretty impressive. And he says, yeah, well, I figure if you had a series of them, then and could get the timing right, you could use it as motivating force for a vehicle. And the guy who was talking to you says, well, that'd be really dangerous to be carrying all this gunpowder around in your vehicle. And the guy says, well, yes, but with I don't know, Newton's advances in alchemy, I'm hoping I can change it to flammable vapors instead.
Whoa.
Which is like the precursor of like the internal combustion engine. I have no idea how much of that is anyway in true at all, that they had those theories at that time, or if it's just stuff that Stevenson is making up to make the book interesting. But it's really neat. You might like that. Have you read that?
No, I don't think I have.
The first bit of it is actually in Boston, like around Cambridge and such, and like one of the characters is the founder of the Massachusetts Bay Colony for Technological Advancement or something.
Huh.
Like the pre-MIT.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I believe that MIT, before it was MIT, was just Boston Tech. But I'm not sure. It was actually, they were in Boston and moved across the river in, I think, like 1915 or something, into Cambridge. Most of the area that we were hanging out in was landfill.
Really?
Yeah. They sort of, I think the mouth of the Charles River was much wider early on, and they just slowly filled it in. Especially on the Boston side, the Back Bay is all landfill. So
I wonder if someday Japan will just be square.
You think they'll just sort of block it off?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll try to. They have made like completely artificial islands and stuff that they've been putting buildings on and stuff.
That seems
like they have a whole airport that's a completely, yeah.
Well, airport, you know, I wouldn't even mind having a floating airport necessarily, I guess, but putting like any kind of tall building on a artificial bit of land that isn't sort of bedrockified.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it has to be done in a special way, because I know when they build like a skyscraper, they have to pound the girders some distance down into solid rock.
And you need Native Americans to work up in them. Because I read this thing once that a lot of when like the Empire State Building was being built, a lot of Native Americans were hired to work on the girders up in the catwalks and everything, because apparently they're more inclined to walk with like one foot directly in front of the other one. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, in all the pictures that I've seen of that era, I don't remember seeing anybody that seemed particularly Native American-y. You know what I mean? Like they all looked very sort of like Irish-American.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just the particular bias of the
Maybe it's because American Indians don't photograph like vampires.
Oh. Yeah, that would explain how these two guys built this whole building. There were actually 80 of them, but 78 of them were Native Americans and just couldn't be recorded on film. Wow. Also, why there were like 80 lunchboxes, only two guys. Interesting.
There's this old Mad Magazine cartoon that was one of the old Don Martin cartoons. There was these two construction workers sitting on the girder eating lunch, and the one guy pulls out the sandwich and bites into it, and the other guy opens his lunchbox and pulls out a crescent wrench and bites a big hunk off of it, and the other guy looks at him and watches him finish eating this wrench, and the guy says, "You moron, that's not your lunchbox, that's your toolbox." And the other guy goes, "Oh." And he pulls the other box over and takes out a sandwich with two crescent wrenches sticking out of it.
I thought it was going to be something about having assembled this whole girder structure with a sandwich.
Blimey, whatever did I give the wife?
Gleave says by 2009, cars will run on puppy juice.
Heck yeah. And that that kittens into Pop-Tarts conversion engine.
I don't know that we'd really get along so well if we smashed puppies. We could have smashed puppies for sale in the store.
Ooh. They have one of those, in Hamleys, they had one of those build-your-own teddy bear areas where you pick out the unstuffed bear skin and then stuff it, and they sew it up for you.
That sounds creepy.
They are creepy because you go and look, and they have these huge bins full of just hollow bear skins.
I ain't no hollow bear skin. What? Why is that preferable at all to just having stuffed bears? It just takes up less space.
Well, you can customize them because you can also put like they have like those squeezy noise boxes or whatever, so you can pick what sound you want its voice box to have in it, and you can mix and match, so you could theoretically have a bear that makes a cat noise or something.
So if you have,
and also they sell like various clothing that you can dress them up in.
If you're trying to make some sort of bear, like, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh, that you want them to fall in love with, can you make a little Winnie the Pooh voodoo doll?
Yeah.
All you need is just a lock of Winnie,
lock
the,
of
Pooh's,
Winnie the Pooh's hair.
Maybe just a pot of honey would work in his particular case.
The plus, though, I mean, the machine that they use to fill it is really neat because it's this big, like, bin with fluff all in it, and it's got this big spinning thing that keeps it loose or
it's
something.
It's not a cotton candy machine?
It's not dissimilar.
Huh. How do cotton candy machines work? Because they have like, it's like this,
yeah, it's like this
stuff,
spinning thing, and it's basically just sugar, I think.
Right.
But I guess more finely ground.
Strands?
I have no idea how that works.
Do they have little spiders? That would be awesome. If, like, on the outside where you don't see,
oh my
it,
God,
it's like little spiders, and they're like, they're eating the sugar real fast, and they're like spitting out web, sugar web. As
that
fast
would be
as
the
can.
Best, like, Halloween thing, like cotton candy with spiders on it. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about, well, not a lot, we've been talking medium about haunted houses. Well, there's a, we'd like to design one, I think, at some
That'd
point.
That'd be interesting.
We could use it as a LARP space for...
I'd be worried, well,
KOL,
I mean, we'd have to...
Some sort of cool haunted house for Halloween?
If we used it for LARP stuff, we'd have to come up with some way for it to be satisfying without people actually being able to swing weapons around, because the styrofoam trees would not accept that.
Well, if it was styrofoam trees.
Yeah. But I don't know. And plus, I don't know...
Lightning bolt!
We could do a really scary haunted house on like, a insane asylum theme or death hospital or something.
We could... did you catch the latest episode of Death Hospital?
It's a very short episode.
They died again. it's just gotten so dull, you know, recently. What with all the death?
I'm going to look in Wikipedia and see how cotton candy's made.
Are you really?
Okay, so it's got a heater near the rim that melts it. And as it spins through the air, it solidifies into threads like that.
Interesting. Is that how spiders work?
Maybe.
It's interesting. There's a book that I read called Natural Capitalism that talked about, isn't it interesting that you know, to make Kevlar or whatever, we have to create just a ridiculous number of chemical processes that are very toxic. Mm. Whereas, you know, a spider can spin silk that is incredibly resilient and does it at room temperature with no byproducts that are dangerous.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Clearly, there's got to be better ways to make materials, you know, and why don't we just figure out how to do that? I mean, was it the goat? Web spinning spleen or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like in its milk, I think. They spliced a spider gene in and were able to get spider silk in its milk or whatever. They're milking it and got strands of this silk also. It's very strange. And I expect the cheese was dissatisfying.
Dissatisfying? It's still stringy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This strings from like pizza and French onion soup is just even worse than
that.
Oh,
that just sounds awful. Bleh. Goats shouldn't be making cheese.
Goats should not be making cheese.
Wow. Yeah. We're basically the end of the questions here.
Yeah. We got 10 minutes left.
Yeah. I checked in with Lilith, who'll be hosting after us, and she'd be okay with us checking out a little early if you want.
Okay. You got 5 or 6 or 7 minutes of music?
We could outro on something, sure. Let me see what we got. Quick, do some sort of impression of someone famous that everyone will recognize while I look at music. That's terrible. Who is that? I don't know who that is at all.
That was President Bush.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I'm topical. I'm really? A topical antihistamine.
That was terrible.
Yeah, that was that. Just everybody pretend you didn't hear that last few minutes.
Alright, I think we're going to sign off, folks. Thank you for listening, and let's hope that we didn't actually just make up the fact that this was actually broadcasting.
Yeah.
We wake up in some sort of horrible nightmare where there was 2 hours of radio silence. I will try to figure out how to get this on the website, but I make no promises. It might be Sunday before it's up, and if so, I apologize. So, yeah, have a lovely weekend, and I think Xenophobe and Mr. Skullhead will be with you on Monday.
Woohoo!
At the regularly scheduled time. Same bat station. Stuff.
See you later.
All right. Ciao.
just lay there in their arms. Who had it for? There's no reason to grieve. The world that you need is wrapped in gold, silver sleeves left beneath Christmas trees in the snow. I will take you and leave you alone, watching spirals of white softly